Take from our hearts, our minds, and our souls those things which would hinder us from hearing you speak to us. Let us hear the words of David as they impact our lives. Let us go back and listen to the story of Luke as he teaches us about Christ. Let us hear, let us receive, let us perceive, and let us be blessed by your word. For we come in the name of the living word, even Christ our Lord. Amen. Reading from Psalm 50, where David is finding many things in his life, and in those things that he finds in his life, realizes God's blessing as he walks with him in the things that he experiences. I love the Psalms because I think that they're Psalms that are things that are still a part of our lives in the experiences which we go through and the things which we have done. David here is standing before God, crying out to God, asking God for forgiveness, for compassion, for mercy. Sometimes we need to do the same thing in our lives. Here we read from the Psalms, reading from Psalm 50, David, as he comes to the word of God. Here begins the reading of that word. The mighty one God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth, from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my consecrated ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal on the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. But the wicked says, what right have you to recite my law? God says, what right do you recite my laws or take my covenant on your lips? You hate my instruction and cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you join with him, and you throw in your lot with adulterers. You use your mouth for evil and harness your tongue against the deceit. You speak continually against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and accuse you to your face. So far, the word of God from the writings of David in Psalm 50. We turn now to the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 12, beginning our reading at the 32nd verse. Jesus is talking to the disciples and his followers at this point. Jesus says these words, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. To him be the praise, the honor, and the glory for the gift of his word. In gratitude, he shares it with you and me as his people. Amen. 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. Ready or not, here I come. If you were in the secret place that you had chosen to play hide and seek, you were okay. You watched as he began to search for the other people. But if you did not quite make it to the place where you wanted to be when that game started, you realize you were in trouble. You're going to be the first one caught. You're going to say, Stickley, you're done. You're out. You're done. You're finished. Come on, sit down. And for you, at that point, the game is over. The game is complete. A time of shame and failure. And once again, you realize that you've been caught. Jesus tells us to be watchful servants, not playing a game, but being involved in all of the service and preparations that are there as we are expecting the return of our Lord and our Master. We don't do this enough in our lives. When was the last time you honestly thought about the second coming of Jesus Christ? When was the last time you even remembered that Jesus promises that he will come back to this earth again? Not as a baby being born in Bethlehem, but as the judge of heaven and earth to resurrect the dead from the sea and from the ground. Here is where we fit into this little story. We are a part of the process of God's plan, and God's plan is moving through history in every day that comes into your life and leaves your life behind. Let's take a few moments and look at this little story that Jesus is talking about. Number one, there's a lot of people today who are looking for the day of return, the second coming of Christ. The wrong reason, and also in the wrong place, they begin to contemplate the coming of Jesus. I have a cousin in South Carolina who calls me preacher, and we do a lot of emailing together. And recently, this is my email. Preacher, what do you think about all the things that are going on in the world? Isn't the second coming of Jesus right around the corner? And I wrote back and I said, Jim, I don't know anything about when it's going to come, but I know it's coming. So don't worry about when it's coming. Get ready for it. And he wrote back and said, yep, I guess I missed the whole point, didn't I, preacher? And that's where I think we are sometimes. There are people waiting and looking at what's going on in the world saying, surely this is the time and it's not that far down the road before Jesus Christ will come back to this earth to judge it. Look at all the things that are happening in our world. We have hurricanes, we have drought, we have fires, we have all the earthquakes and the things that are going on in the world. And we must say to ourselves, it's got to be getting close, because these are the things that Jesus talks about sometimes in his teaching, saying, when these things begin to take place in the world, realize that the world is coming to a close. Yet I stand before you this morning to say that these things have been taking place since the foundation of the world, for centuries and eons. Where you're sitting right now this morning, a million years ago was 100 feet of ice, and to your left and to your right were the glaciers that were pushing the ice and the stones and the mountains. And our concern today is a logical concern. We're worried about climate change. But not really climate change. We're worried about the speed of the climate change. We have raped the world in all the things that we have done so quickly and so easily, somehow saying they'll never run out, they'll always be there. And realizing now, sometimes as we look, they're not always going to be there. Now we are dealing with an advance and a rapid change rather than a change that will take eons of time and centuries and hundreds of years. Jesus teaches his followers and says to them at one point, do not worry about dates and times, for those lie in the wisdom and the plan of Almighty God alone. They come to him and say to him, is this the time when you're going to restore your kingdom? Are you now going to come and become our king? And Jesus says, don't worry about dates and times. I don't even know the date. Only God knows the date. And when God determines that this is the day that the world should end, it will end. And the trumpet of Gabriel will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are still alive shall be caught with them to be taken into heaven, into the presence of God. This is what's coming in the things that Jesus is talking about. But then Jesus tells us something about what we're taking to and how we're going to relate to that. We are not called to be date keepers. We're not called to be predictors of times and events. We are called to be servants. Servants who love and serve their master above everything else, placing their master number one. And even when the master is gone, our roles do not change. If we are followers of Jesus Christ and servants of Christ, we can watch him return like the disciples did that day on the mountain as he went back to heaven to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we will hear the same message from those angels who say, "Why are you standing here looking at where he's going? He's going to come back again. Your role has not changed. This is not making any difference in your life except for the fact that he promises you that he will come back and take you out of this world." The purpose in serving our Lord, the purpose in being servants, is the same role and purpose that we have in our life when we stand before the congregation and say, "I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior." You are now connected with that Savior as a servant, and you continue in that role of serving him even when he is not here. Even when the master is gone, the servants continue to fulfill their roles, whatever those roles might have been. Nothing changes in expectation of the fact that the master is gone. And just because the master is gone, we can't have a party. Our roles stay the same. Our purpose is the same, to honor and to glorify God. And the scripture says in Jesus, if he comes home and he knocks on the door and he finds everything is in place and the servants are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, everything stays in its place and its purpose. That's the fulfillment of servanthood. Even when he is gone, he will come back and find joy as the door is opened and it's just as he expected it. Christ says he will be overjoyed and he will exchange roles with his servants. The servant serves the master. The master does not serve the servants. But Jesus tells his disciples in the teaching from Luke this morning, if they are faithful and just in what they are doing, he will change the roles. He will somehow become the servant, and they will become the master. You come to a table this morning to celebrate that fact, that Jesus Christ moved from the role of being a master to being a servant. On the night that they gathered together in the upper room, Jesus Christ washed the feet of his disciples. He became the servant. They became the masters. You and I come to this table, and he now comes not just as a servant, but as a master as well. He comes to be both as he comes to us in this table. And those who are waiting for this return of their master realize that if they have done what they have done as he expected that of them, they will have a place reserved for them in the promise of God. Jesus says to all of us that if we fulfill our servanthood role, he reserves a place in the kingdom of heaven for us, and it will be the obligation of God himself to give us that role and that duty in life, in faith, and the life that is yet to come. There's an interaction that's taking place in this story that Jesus is telling. If the servants do the job, the master is pleased. It's the Old Testament concept of a covenant. God comes to us and says, "I make a promise to you. If you do this, I will do this, but you must do this as well. And if you do this, then I will fulfill this. But if you break this, then this becomes negated." It's a give and take between God saying, I am coming here to bless you. I'm coming here to give you a promise. I'm coming here to give you a promise that can blossom into reward, that you will become the children of God. Jesus tells him a little side story. If the owner of the house predicts when the thief is coming, He's going to avoid that. So the servants do not and will not be able to delineate or even begin to see the time when the trumpet will sound and the master will return. Only when Gabriel blows his horn will it begin. So Jesus says this, live like you are already waiting for his coming again. Come as his servants to share with your master, and in the sharing with your master, to find the blessed relationship that you can have with the Son of God. We come to do that at this table this morning. It's something that we do not expect or worry about or predict. We somehow come just as servants. And we come not seeking the day when Jesus returns, not even trying to figure out when it's going to happen. I said this one thing to my cousin at the end of my email. Jim, don't worry. All I can tell you about the second coming of Jesus is this. It's one day closer today than it was yesterday. When it comes, it will come. But if the servants are doing the role and fulfilling the obligations that they have, then they will be rewarded and they will be given the gift of eternal life. And as we come to this table this morning, we come to see Jesus Christ both as our master as well as our servant. He comes into the world to serve us with his broken bread, broken body, and spilled blood, but he comes into the world to be our master, to show us that he comes to redeem his people. And even as a part of the communion liturgy, we pray to him. Even so, Lord Jesus, gather together from all of the vine those grapes into one cup, and the wheat from all of the fields into one loaf, and gather them together so that they who are rejoicing with you may serve you, not only in this world, but in the world which is yet to come. That's Christ's promise to you and to me, as he calls us to be his servants, and as he gives us the gift of life in all the things that we find. To him be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we sometimes forget that we're not of this world. We sometimes forget that we have a home in a place that knows no pain, knows no death, knows no grief, knows no sorrow. And we fail to rejoice in the promise that you give to us. Help us to realize that again as we come to this table this morning. And as we do that, let us find your peace and know that you are our master and our servant. For we come in your name. Amen. We set before God our tithes and our offerings as God has blessed us.